for January 8th, 2007. It's the Lullabot Podcast. You know, I'm thinking about writing like a Drupal rock song, more like a, you know, the theme for Drupal, like a Drupal jingle. You know, I think.
Oh my god, I've got the best theme for Drupal.
Arena Rock.
So Steven uploaded this video about this new jQuery teaser thing that he wrote, and it's got this like accordion music with this la 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 in the background, and it's perfect. Anyway. It's a must see.
I just think that would really it'd be really good marketing for Drupal just to have a really like annoying theme song, like, I don't know, like 1950s cigarette commercials or something, you know.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's Drupal. Drupal rocks.
Hello, everyone. It's the yet another edition, the first of 2007. What episode are we up to? Is it like 27, 28?
20 million.
Lots.
It's the Lullabot Drupal podcast. We get together. I guess if it's a 20, if it were a 26-ish, that would be about... every other week, averaging every other week. We say the weekly podcast, but you know, it's really more like every other week when we can get it together. And I say 26 because it's Lullabot's 1 year anniversary. We are 1 year old as of January 1st. It was 1 year ago, that Matt Westgate and I launched lullabot.com and said, hey, we're Lullabot or something, and it's just
and we like robots.
Yeah.
Oh, and we do Drupal stuff too.
And it's just been a gangbuster year. Crazy craziness,
insanity
in craziness, we started out with just Matt and I, and we're now there are like 10 people in the company, and we're just cranking out websites and teaching people and doing workshops and consulting and all kinds of stuff. And it's just been, really great. Lots of fun, lots of success, lots of Drupal.
Yeah. Nothing like getting paid to do your hobby. I mean, if we didn't have Lullabot, we'd be doing this anyway. So it's nice we can make a living at it too, eh?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a shout out to Angie. My Canadian homies.
Aw, thanks, Ben.
We should do our introductions. I'm Jeff Robbins.
And I'm Matt Westgate.
I'm Angela Byron.
And I'm Jeff Eaton.
Woo! Yes, well.
It's very funny.
The only rehearsed part you'll hear.
Yeah. So what? We're a year, 1 year, and we got workshops. Providence, Rhode Island, next week. Is that right? Next week? Yes, yep. January 15th through the 19th in Providence, Rhode Island. There's still some spots available, so go to lullabot.com/training, and you can get in on that. It's going to be awesome. We have a great place and great subject matter. We're going to be building a project all week. Monday and Tuesday, we're going to be looking at the functionality and evaluating modules and sort of building the functionality of the site in Drupal. Wednesday and Thursday are theming with the theming ninja team of Ted Serbinski and Nathan Haug. And then Friday, we've got John Resig of jQuery fame coming down from Boston, and he's going to tell everyone all about jQuery, and we're going to talk about sort of how to pimp out our project using jQuery, and it's going to be fun, and we'll all be there.
Yeah, the entire Lullabot team.
Yep.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, we're gearing up. We'll have this probably up on the site sometime next week. The next round of workshops is also going to be in Providence. It's a good sort of central location. It's not too far from Boston, not too far from New York, easy access from the airport. We're only about 10 minutes from the airport and stuff like that.
It's pretty cheap too.
Yeah. Not too bad compared to the last round we did was in, San Francisco. A lot of people went broke just paying for hotels there. And so comparatively speaking, Providence, nice and cheap. And, but the next round of workshops is going to be, sort of more advanced stuff. It'll be, the first week in April. And it will be, right now we're looking at advanced theming, and sort of down and dirty in the Drupal API. Learn all about the, just the Drupal API and stuff that can be done with that. And so we're still doing a little tweaking of everything there, but hopefully, it'll be up on the site, real soon. So go to, lullabot.com/training and, there'll be information there. So what have you guys been up to?
Lots of modules.
Yeah. Jeff Eaton's been, crazy contributing modules.
A lot of the modules that have just been checked in are sort of grew out of work that we've done on a couple of client sites as we've been working on building sites based on Drupal 5. And I think we're going to get to some of the cool stuff about that later in the podcast.
Well, we should mention, I mean, yeah, we've got a couple of new sites that,
indeed,
that we've sort of launched officially, that we've kind of been relatively hush-hush about. I guess this is sort of the way it goes, right? I mean, you don't really tell people about the sites that you're developing until they come out, but we just put out a couple of sites. Matt, you want to tell people about them?
Yeah, one of the sites that we put out is musicbox.sonybmg.com, and it's a Drupal site with lots and lots of Flash video players. And what it is, it's just Sony wanted to have all the music videos of their artists on their website and available for free just to go and watch. So they have their entire video library up there, all the way back from
Billy Joel.
Bob Dylan.
They've got Europe, man. They've got Final Countdown.
Yeah, Weird Al Yankovic, Tenacious D. It was really hard developing this site. A lot of us got sidetracked just watching the videos and forgot that we had to build it too. So both of these
sites are for Sony, Sony Records, aka Sony BMG, yeah. So that one again, the URL is musicbox.sonybmg.com, and that's all Drupal through and through. And yeah, it's a sort of a video. They put up all their videos for their artists there. But it's a community site where people can go in and rate the videos and
review them
and share them with people and stuff like that. Sort of YouTube-ish, although people can't upload their own videos there. It's just the Sony artists. But it's cool stuff. Nice, clean site.
It's a good example, too, of Drupal interfacing with a third-party API type of thing. Because the Flash is actually driven by an external web service, and we're tying into it with Drupal and XML. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get excited about the geeky stuff. Sorry.
No, it's cool. And that's a Drupal 4.7 site. And we also launched a Drupal 5 site, even though Drupal 5 hasn't actually quite launched itself yet. The other site is a website for a guy named Chris Daughtry, who some people will know, particularly in the United States, particularly if you watch American Idol. He wasn't actually the winner. I'm actually not an American Idol watcher myself, but my understanding is he was not actually the winner, but, you know, fan favorite kind of thing. And that site is at daughtryofficial.com, DAUGHTRY official, OFFICIAL.com. and it's, again, sort of a similar kind of, you know, site where fans of Chris Daughtry can, come on and, post blog entries and rate things and all kinds
there's
of
some
stuff.
Nice photo gallery type of stuff in there too that kind of shows off what Drupal can do, so which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and it was really neat doing that site because that was a our first Drupal 5 site, and we're going to talk a little bit later about sort of the issues, you know, sort of what it's like to develop a Drupal 5 site as compared to a Drupal 4.7 site, stuff like that. So,
sneak peek, it's awesome.
Oh, well, now you gave it away, man.
Oh.
Or was it? Okay, I don't know.
So, what's the status of Drupal 5? How close are we? This podcast we're recording on January 6th, and Drupal 5 is darn close, but not actually out yet.
Yeah, I think there's still two critical bugs. So, how about that patch queue, folks? And let's get it done. But no, it should be very, very close, I really hope. Most people are kind of in the consensus. A lot of people are actually starting to work on features for 6 because 5 is so close to being done. So,
yeah, we're gearing up to. We put up a couple of videos on the Lullabot site. There's two of them up there right now, Drupal 5, installing Drupal 5, and the new features in Drupal 5. Cool videos for people to check out if you're interested in Drupal 5 and looking for excuses to upgrade or.
And hopefully by the time you hear this, there will be a video on upgrading as well.
Yes, the Angie Byron video.
My very first one, so be kind, please. I didn't do, you know, I tried, but yeah, we'll see.
What other Drupal news do we have here in the pipeline?
Groups.drupal.org, which is a site with working groups and local action groups, that officially launched on Drupal 5 actually just the other day.
Was it not officially launched before?
No, I don't think so.
It was beta.
It was like beta. So now it's whatever comes after beta, but not, you know, but anyway, it was on the front page of Drupal.org. And so now a lot of people have been signing up to it. And so there's some cool groups that are on that site. One that just launched probably a couple weeks ago is one called the Drupal Dojo. And this is by Josh from
Josh Koenig.
Yeah, Josh Koenig.
From, chapter 3, LLC.
Chapter 3, LLC.
I like it because it rhymes.
It's cool. and he's been doing a lot of good work there, kind of doing sort of module mashup, kind of teaching people how to theme. It's really kind of informal. And I guess the people who were able to attend learned a lot. And one of their goals coming out of this is to write a whole bunch of new documentation for basically new developers and people new to Drupal, which is great because anything that helps documentation is a good thing. So anyway, check it out.
Yeah, not to be confused with the JavaScript Dojo library.
Right. Some people were confused. It's like a sensei mentor apprenticeship.
Yeah. Ninjas. He's training ninjas.
Yes. So if you want to be a Drupal ninja,
yes.
Check it out.
Yeah. I guess the idea is to pair up mentors with trainees. So it's sort of a limited program that I think has like filled up really fast. For the feeling I got was that that there was what you would call overwhelming demand. So I'm not quite sure what's happening with that now, but it was certainly generated some excitement. What else we have? There's this another Drupal podcast has launched, the Drupal Basics podcast. And what is the URL for that? Let's find that. We haven't done a podcast in so long. We're catching up with all this old news.
It's DrupalBasics.com.
Oh, well, there you go. DrupalBasics.com. They have their goal, my understanding is to cover the really sort of basic stuff of Drupal. I mean, on this podcast, We tend to get kind of geeked out sometimes and sort of start to get into talking about various API things and stuff like that. We try and sort of cover the gamut and hopefully we're covering the basics here, but that podcast is really focused on that. So if you're really new to Drupal and, want to get the basics under your belt, check it out. Good stuff. So. New modules. Let's talk about new modules. Who wants to talk about awesome new modules? Jeff, why don't you start with new modules? Because you actually have contributed
like 90% of them
of amazing new modules. Some of these came through that Daughtry Drupal 5 site that we mm-hmm. launched, and then some were other just sort of. Just brain explosions.
Well, the first one I think might have been mentioned on the previous podcast, but it's the 5-star module. Basically, there's a lot of voting modules out there based on voting API. There's usually like there's a core set of feature requests that are usually floating around at any time, like the ability to users vote. The ability to have like a cool little jQuery rollover star rating kind of thing that works well on all browsers and stuff like that. And then the ability to add like a star rating field to node types and stuff like that. The idea is that 5-star module sort of incorporates all of that stuff. It has a CCK field, so if you're making a new node type, like a review or a rating or something like that, you can just add in a 5-star rating as a particular element of that form. Or you can say, I want all image nodes to have a little 5-star rating widget that any user can come in and rate it. And uses jQuery to display a cool little rollover star animation. But if you turn off JavaScript, it degrades gracefully to just be a little radio button widget that you can click on a radio button and hit submit. So it won't break if like somebody is using an older browser, things like that. And it also supports voting by anonymous users. And it's intelligent enough that it won't let an anonymous user come in and vote over and over and over and over. But at the same time, it still recognizes, like, say, someone at a cyber cafe or something comes in, votes, and then 2 hours later, somebody comes in and votes using the same computer at the same internet cafe. There's a lot of configuration options. It's one of the modules that we put together for the Daughtry official site because they wanted to incorporate lots of user ratings in lots of different contexts all over the site, and we didn't want to have to code a custom little module for every single location, but we wanted to be able to sort of have a unified look and feel for it. And Nathan Haug did all of the JavaScript work and the CCK integration work, and just an amazing job on that. I was blown away by how slick it was. And then I worked on most of the backend voting API stuff, and I think the result is really, really cool. So anyways, that's exciting.
It is. It's like the supreme voting module. I mean, so you wrote the voting API, and then there's been several the voting API module, which sort of provides the functioning for several other modules that have been contributed. But I think you sort of aggregated down the best of everything and made.
And it's actually a long time ago when I did the voting API, I did a module called Simple Vote that was really, really simple, just demonstrated like how you cast a vote, how you retrieve votes, things like that. And a lot of people have built code based on the examples that were in that. And actually, from this point on, I'm kind of pointing towards 5-star as the example for a lot of different voting API-related techniques, because it's a year's worth of learning about best ways to do things and best ways to avoid problems and stuff like that. So,
cool. So let's cover some of these other ones. I've just been using your new token module, which probably requires some explanation.
Well, okay.
This is what I would call a module of philosophy.
Yeah, it's definitely a geeky one. If you're just like setting up a site as an end user or something like that, you will not care about token module. It's only necessary if you're using a different module that says, hey, I need token. Basically, the Path Auto module, which has been around for a long time and tons of people love, lets you automatically create path aliases for like nodes or taxonomy terms just by filling in little like placeholder tokens. Like you can say, whenever I create a new node, I want the new path to be like the date / the type of node that it is / the title of the node .html. And you make the sort of template for that path using little tokens like date or title or whatever, and then it's able to fill that in with the actual date that node was created and the actual title and stuff like that. It's a really neat little replacement thing that it's super flexible, super cool. The problem is lots of other modules start needing that kind of functionality. Like if you're sending out batch emails to a bunch of users. Well, you want to be able to write an email. You want to be able to put the username of the email inside the body of it. Or if you're sending out a notice that says, you know, hey, you haven't logged in, you know, 30 days. You know, you might come back and check out this stuff. Well, you know, you don't want to write custom code for every single permutation of that email you might want to send out. So it makes sense to have little tokens to put in there, like a username token or a how many days since the person last logged in token and stuff like that. And the real problem is that as more modules start taking advantage of this stuff, start, you know, using little replacement tokens for easy configuration, the amount of duplicate code that they have is just, it gets huge. And it doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, if I write, say, a module that lets me add a music field to any node, well, that's something that I would want to be able to, you know, replace wherever there's a token. I would want to say what song was playing when I wrote this node. But then suddenly every single module that does token replacement has to add support for it. Token module is a single central place that can manage all of those things. If your module adds fields to a node or provides a specific content type like taxonomy terms or something like that, it can essentially announce to token module, hey, I do these things, I provide this kind of data, and here are a couple of special tokens for, you know, replacement values that I support. And then modules like PathAuto would be able to take advantage of that and just call on token module to do all of their replacement stuff, so you can centralize all that code. More modules can take advantage of it, and by grouping that together, the idea is that more modules can support token replacement, more modules can provide tokens.
So does that mean that, say, organic groups module could provide variables to Path Auto module without Path Auto module having to do anything?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, right now,
possible. Path Auto provides.
Right now, organic groups provides some variables to Path Auto directly, but token module would sort of act as an intermediary that would allow organic groups by providing variables to token module. Then it would provide those same variables to anything that used token module, rather than just specifically Path Auto. So an example of where I've been using it in preparation for next week's workshops, where we're going to be building a CRM project, a contact relationship manager. One of the things when you create a contact is you want to have a field for first name and last name, but then what is the title of the node? Is it the last name or is it the last name comma first name? That would be nice to have it last name comma first name, but also having a title on the content item, the contact content when you create it doesn't quite make sense. So I've been using a module called Auto Node Title, which basically suppresses the node title, and then you can provide these little patterns that will make up the node title. So I can create a CCK field for first name and a CCK field for last name, and then use node title auto node title module along with the token module. And this is a patch that I'm currently rolling to add the token support to this module, so that I tell it that the title should consist of the last name field, comma, the first name field. And so that's pretty cool stuff.
And another example of that is the two modules, or actually three modules that we developed for the Chris Daughtry site: custom links, custom bookmarks, and custom pagers. The idea was that we were building all this kind of stuff with custom CCK types on that site, which gave us a lot of flexibility. But there are certain things like adding links at the bottom of the node to, like, for example, if you're doing a user blog, you want to say, click here to visit that user's blog. Or if you're doing a photo gallery, you want the bookmark trail for that node to reflect, like, what particular photo gallery it's in, not just be at the top level. A lot of custom modules that provide their own hard-coded content types do that kind of stuff. But custom links and custom bookmarks provide that capability for any kind of module, including CCK-created stuff that you roll on your own. And using tokens, you can say, I want my bookmark to be home / photos, and I want the photos link to go to the node ID of the parent of the current node. The tokens module provides all those things, and you just mix them up to provide whatever URL paths you want to put in there. And it lets you duplicate the functionality of something like blog module just perfectly, but it's all customizable.
Yeah, it's cool. So with the custom links, right? It allows you to create custom little sort of templatable links for the bottom of all your content items, node, aka nodes.
Yep.
Custom bookmarks again allows you to create a template.
Oh, wait.
Oh no, custom breadcrumb.
Custom starts, breadcrumbs. Wow.
Starts with a B.
Custom breadcrumb. I need to remember the names of my modules.
Allows you to create a template for the bookmark, and I'm saying it again, the breadcrumb trail, so people can keep track of where they are in the site. Give them the illusion that they're sort of in a certain area of the site. And then there was one other. Did you say? Oh,
custom,
yeah,
custom pagers.
Talk a little bit about that one. That one sort of started life as the previous Next module. Is that correct? You and I started thinking about together, and now it's this.
It's a good example of this in Drupal core is, it's both the book module and the forum module. If you go to a Drupal forum node, at the bottom of the node, it shows little links to the next forum post and the previous forum post. And if you go to a book node, it shows links to the next book page and the previous book page. Again, those are things that you can code on your own custom whenever you like write a module from scratch. But if you're doing like CCK nodes, or you're pulling together like a photo gallery, or you want to do that in a taxonomy term, that's not really easy to do. Well, that's what custom pagers does. It integrates with views module. What you do is you create a view that has all the filters and stuff set up so that it's the set of nodes you want people to be able to page through, like all blog nodes by a particular user or something like that. Then you create a custom pager for the node type you want to display this with, and you just tell it which view you want it to use for the list of nodes to page through. And at that point, it just shows the little previous and next links whenever one of those matching nodes is up on the screen. And it handles, you know, what one's next, what one's previous, and it's also very themable. So if you wanted to, say, build a web comic and have a pager that lets you jump to the very first comic, today's comic, and the previous the next ones from like whatever one you're currently viewing. That would just be a matter of theming the output of the pager. So it's pretty powerful. And if you're familiar with Views module, it's also possible to use tokens to pass in custom arguments to the view. So you can have some really, really elaborately customized pagers with very, very little work, very quick turnaround. Some people may find that it's still, you know, more efficient for them to code something completely from scratch, but this is also very quick for development, very quick for setting up sites, and you don't have to code stuff from scratch. You just click, I want a new pager, set up the view, and there you have it.
Cool. Let's whip through some of these other modules. There's so many. We need to do these podcasts more often. Keep up with these things. Angie, you want to cover some of these?
Sure. I haven't actually played with any of these, but they looked cool when I was looking through the list of modules. So one is called Web File Manager, which apparently is like a hierarchical file browsing tool with Ajax and stuff like that. And I know we've had people come to us before want to know what's a good file management tool. And right at the moment, I don't know if there is one, but check it out. See if this is good and tell us. Let us know. No. What I wanted to talk about just from the geek factor is one called Dript, D-R-I-P-T, and it is a Lisp interpreter written in PHP, and it's a filter for Drupal. It's like, whoa, that's crazy. Anyway, if you're not a geek, ignore that last. There's one called Pair Wiki Filter, which uses the Pair Wiki libraries. So you can basically apply that filter, and then people can use whatever wiki or BB code or whatever syntax they're comfortable with, which is nice because, you know, if you're used to using TWiki or MediaWiki or something like that, it's annoying to have to relearn a new syntax when you're on a different site. So Release Monitor is a new module that I believe it's for 4.7, it might be for 5 as well. It basically lets you know if there are new module versions available for the modules you have installed, which is pretty cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah, this Doug Green guy just came out of the woodwork all of a sudden, put all these really neat sounding modules out there. Again, I haven't played with any of them, but feel free to play with them and report back as to how they work for you. Coder is actually one I have played with. This is a utility that will basically scan through your code and highlight any errors you have, and it checks against the Drupal coding standards. It checks against the I believe it will let you know if you need when you're trying to upgrade modules and stuff like that. It will go through and let you know if you have stuff you need to change and stuff like that. I think it's still kind of new, so it probably needs some work, but I'm really interested in getting that working because I had also started a module updater module, and it's great to only have one tool that does that. So, cool. There's one called CCK Field Permissions, which, if it works, sounds very cool. So you could potentially, like, you know, say there's a checkbox that only administrators can see to mark a user a certain type or something like that. Or perhaps even you could restrict fields in a CCK type to only people in my friends list or something like that.
Well, and it also my understanding is that it also puts permissions on the output of those fields. So
right,
so that you can actually have fields that maybe everyone can enter, but only certain people can see the output of. So it's kind of a whole new paradigm for permissions, node-based permissions in Drupal, because rather than the whole node being viewable or not, now just individual fields can be viewable or not on the output of it. So that's really cool stuff.
Yeah. There's one called Upload Previews, which is by Constantine, and that apparently lets you view little thumbnail images as you're uploading images with the upload module.
He always does cool stuff.
Yeah, he's doing cool Ajax-y kind of stuff all the time. So.
Yeah.
And then one other one that kind of caught my eye was a module called Form Draft, and that will apparently let you save drafts of a form. So if you're writing up a blog post and you get called away, you can basically save it as a draft and then come back later and fix it up.
Oh, that's nice too. Drafts. Mm. Yeah.
Nice.
Cool. Well, let's move on to the thing we were saying that we would talk about, which was sort of the difference in, developing, sites in Drupal 5 as compared to developing them in Drupal 4, 4.7 particularly. We have this site that we just launched in Drupal 5, and so it's sort of on the tip of our tongue, our collective tongue. Ugh.
Jeff, no offense, but that's kind of gross, man.
Jeff Eaton, you had some thoughts on this. You want to talk a little bit about sort of what it was like to do a Drupal 5 site and sort of how that differed from Drupal 4.7?
Well, it rocked. That
was the preview. Yeah.
It's easy to overlook because we don't often think about this in the context of like developing sites, but the user interface improvements in Drupal 5 on the administrative side are such a huge benefit. And I know, Angie, you worked a lot on helping get the administrative screen like additions in and the enhancements to the module maintenance screens, and the results are just really, really fantastic.
Thanks.
Oh, it's...
Although I can't take credit for that. It was mostly Earl Miles who did that, and then we just kind of all collectively pitched in and were like, dude, this has to get into 5, and went nuts on the issue.
Indeed. It was definitely a group effort by some really, really hardcore people in the Drupal community, and the results, they shine. It's even things like the dependency system, the hassles of when you're going through and doing, you know, crazy setup configuration rushes, you can't accidentally enable modules that depend on things that you don't have turned on. The organization of the administration screens is so much cleaner and so much smoother. It actually is pleasant to visit the admin screen now, as opposed to just displaying several hundred of the most recent 404 errors. and in addition to that, this isn't something super obvious, but the uninstall feature that modules can now support is a huge benefit. Before, in Drupal 4.7, when you installed a module, it recorded an entry for it in like the system table that Drupal uses to keep track of all kinds of stuff, and it would install that module's tables and stuff like that. And then you could go and you could turn off that module later. You could even, you know, go to your FTP site and just delete the module entirely, but the evidence of that module's existence, you know, the custom tables it installed, you know, entries for it in Drupal system tables and stuff like that, they all stayed around. And that meant if you ever wanted to just reinstall the thing from scratch, you had to go in and, you know, you had to manually delete a bunch of stuff, and it was messy. Well, now modules can actually support an uninstall function. And you can go in and explicitly say, I may have disabled this, you know, before, but now I just want to tear everything out, kill its tables, you know, forget that it was ever there. And when
it's beautiful and dangerous at the same time, isn't it?
Oh,
if you know
yes.
What you're doing, it's a beautiful thing. If you don't know what you're doing, you could end up in a lot of trouble.
Because it does, in fact, rip out all the tables that a module installed and things like that. It's nice because it's not easy to accidentally do it. You have to go to a special screen. It asks you to confirm you really want to do this. But especially when you're developing a module and you're troubleshooting stuff and you're changing around things and you're testing the installation scripts for it and stuff like that, it can be really handy just to roll it back and wipe things out with a simple command, rather than having to go in and manually do all that stuff. It's really cool.
Cool. Yeah. And, I mean, I'm just finding that I guess we should probably also point people again to that new features video that we've put up on the Lullabot site. If you go to, lullabot.com/podcast, actually, we'll list it there. Or you can go to video casts, I guess, and it's listed there too. CCK, sort of the patch was called Pave the Way for CCK, which now basically the functionality in Drupal 5 is that you can add add custom content types as part of core. You can also rename content types. So you could name the story node type to become article node type or something like that. But it also means that CCK, when you do install it, is a lot more integrated than it was before. I mean, basically, you go to the content type setup page, and there's just a new tab for add a field. And you can add a field to any node type, even an existing node type like, I don't know, audio or video or my bio module, which I haven't actually ported over to Drupal 5 yet, but I will soon. You could add extra fields to that, and you can even change the title of the title field, change it to something else, or the body, you know, change the word body to description or something like that. And just that whole sort of really kind of fluid and sort of malleable way of configuring the site and just kind of moving things around is totally, it's just a whole different vibe. I can't really explain it. It's just like, I don't know, just being able to change things around like that. It's a different feeling.
You've done a good job when running 4.7 feels like, oh God, I have to run 4.7. You know what I mean? So, and I felt the same way from 4.7 to 4.6, that going back to 4.6 was like pulling out teeth. So
yeah.
That means we've done a really good job with the new version.
Well, in developing it. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it's just, it's sort of it's the catch 22, isn't it? Because I mean, I go back to a Drupal 4.6 site that launched about a year ago, you know, and it was like the latest and greatest thing at the time. And now I go back to that and I'm sort of rolling my eyes and thinking like, oh God, I got to deal with this old thing. And it's only a year old. I mean, it's sort of the ups and downs of such a quick, new release, cycle. But I mean, it's just the pace of development is in Drupal right now. It's just amazing. So,
One important thing to note is, having been witness to the relatively painful transition from version 4.6 to 4.7 for module developers.
Relatively painful? I don't think you need to qualify that. I think you can just say painful.
You might want to qualify it with like utterly or completely.
I think Czech summed it up as... women wept and babies cried and men gnashed their teeth. And you know, that was the 4.6 to 4.7 transition. In comparison, upgrading 4.7 modules to Drupal 5 is really, really clean. There's a lot of changes, but any given module is probably only going to run into a small number of them.
Yeah.
It's not the kind of just complete sweeping total changes that 4.6 to 4.7 introduced. And most of the stuff, if you cleanly upgraded a module to version 4.7 and you were following Drupal's coding standards for that version, the upgrade to 5 will probably be really, really straightforward. So, and if...
I mean, there are a number of modules that are like an hour-long process or whatever. So, oops, sorry.
No, yeah, it's a lot smoother, and that was a big relief.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, I've upgraded several modules already, and it's just been pretty simple to do. So,
So Jeff, are you in a module updater module?
Am I going to do a new module updater module? Actually, this coder module that Angie was talking about actually has sort of some of the beginnings of that. It needs a little love, but it seems to be getting updated every day. And I think that probably both Angie and I are going to kind of look into that a little bit and sort of put some efforts into that, because it does some really neat stuff going through and showing that you're using the proper coding standards and all that kind of stuff. So, be good to just have sort of one place to put all those crazy regular expressions that need to happen.
Yeah, indeed.
Sure.
But it is a different sort of a concept. I mean, the module updater, module, which I wrote, for upgrading modules from 4.6 to 4.7, the concept was you just took your module code and copied and pasted it into this text area, and then it sort of churned through it. But with the coder module, currently at least, it goes through your currently installed modules, which is a different concept. So you have to actually, I mean, it's sort of a catch 22 again, isn't it? Is that you have to install an incompatible module to run the coder module to find out that it's incompatible. So, there's some logic problems there, but, it's cool stuff. So, so the short answer is no. there will probably not be a module updater for 4.7 to 5 unless someone else codes it, which I would be happy to commit their changes. So
I think that's our rule for a lot of things. If someone else codes it, we're happy to commit it.
Yeah. Well, it's that scratch your itch thing. I mean, I it's just, you know, there's so much out there and so much to do. And obviously we're busy with our own projects and stuff like that, that it's just all the things I would like to do and all the things I'm able to do are usually a considerably different list. And so, you know, if anyone has ideas for these things, although I agree that they're great, it's difficult to do them. And it's much easier when someone instead says, "Here, I've done it already. Great." one of the other big differences between Drupal 4.7 and Drupal 5 is just sort of where everything lives in the install. In the past,
right,
when you wanted to put in new modules and new themes and stuff like that, you put them in the themes directory or in the modules directory, but you don't really do that anymore, do you?
Well, you can, but it's kind of recommended that you use a new directory called sites all, which keeps your custom and contributed files completely separate from core, which makes it much easier when you're doing an upgrade later on. You just basically copy your sites and files folders and then copy the new stuff over and you're done, essentially. So
right. So rather than having to kind of sync up your modules directory, you can actually just overwrite the entire directory. And you won't be blowing away any of the custom stuff that you've installed because it doesn't live there. It lives in sites all.
Correct.
But don't overwrite sites all.
But don't overwrite, yeah, in general. Anyway, yeah.
But yeah, it's just sort of interesting from a development standpoint to sort of be writing stuff into a different directory and sort of going to a different place to manipulate the modules and stuff like that. So, and not only is there sites all, but now it's really sort of more integrated and again, sort of just like a little bit more tangible, the whole concept of Drupal being able to run multiple sites, because you could install modules in different sites directory, not necessarily sites all, but if you were running a site, how can I explain this quickly? Let's see. We have lullabot.com. If I were to set up a test.lullabot.com sub-site, I could install different modules by installing them in sites/test.lullabot.com /modules. I would put my modules in there, and then those modules would only be available to the test site, yet I would still have access to all of the modules in the all site. That's all I'll say about that. There, you can do more research about that in the on Drupal.org. The handbook explains all about all the different options you have in the sites directory and stuff like that. So it's good stuff. I mean, I would say, yeah, I mean, it rocks. The new version is just great. I mean, it's got the new theme. A lot of the theming functionality has really been improved. Just some, like little things that themers will really appreciate, but other people might not notice. All of the lists of things are now semantically correct. They are output as HTML lists and use CSS to display More like a listing rather than a list, an inline list. And there's CSS classes on the first and last item of the list, so that you can do some tricky CSS things where maybe the first or last item wouldn't have or would have different elements than the others and stuff like that. So it's cool stuff. I think that we're going to really see some cool themes coming out.
Also, one of the often requested features with, you know, theming, people were always asking about how to create different individual templates for different pages on the site and different individual templates for different blocks on the site.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, right.
Stuff like that.
In the past, people were using, like, Sections module for that particularly, and there were other solutions out there. But now
it requires no code. You just create a different template file. Like, say, if you want to do a block in the header region, you would create a block-header.tpl.php, and that would be just a different template for any block that you put into the header. You can do the same thing for specific blocks or blocks provided by a specific module. And with pages, you can create different pages for each like section of the Drupal path that you're currently on. For example, if you wanted to create a custom administration, a template page for the administration screens, you would create page-admin .tpl.php. And you can also create page-front.tpl.php, and that's a custom one just for the front page. And those were huge feature requests that were always floating around, and people were trading tips and tricks on how to do that. Now, it's not necessary. You just make a new template file, and it recognizes it and uses it.
Very
that
cool.
That is cool. Yeah. I didn't know that. That is awesome.
And I mean, we should also mention that you can also now, part of Core, you can swap out your administration pages with using a different theme. There's an administrative theme thing. I forgot to put that in my video. This is going to be, the next 3 weeks is going to be me thinking, oh, I forgot to put that in the video. There's so many just new cool little bits and pieces, so...
That's always good to leave some things to the element of surprise.
Yes, exactly.
That's right. We wouldn't want to spoil it.
Yes, watch the video and then install Drupal and be surprised.
And then see if you can find the Drupal Easter eggs on your own. Install Drupal 5.
Speaking of Easter eggs, I don't know. Matt, your book. How's your book going? It should be coming out right around Easter, right?
Okay, I wonder where you were going with that.
See, that's where I was going with it.
It's going great. I love it. I'm just finishing up the last chapter now on jQuery and walking people through how to create a little voting widget on your site, a dig.com style voting widget. And some of the diagrams of that chapter are particularly funny because I have the little jQuery icon talking to the little Drupalicon about how they should initiate requests and hand things back and forth to do the, Ajaxy type fade in of the new vote numbers and stuff, and I've been having a lot of fun with it.
That's good. I definitely learn best through cartoons.
Yeah, it is. It is a cartoon style diagram, but it's a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed doing it, and every day I just get more and more excited about it because I get closer to getting it done.
It's on. It's up on Amazon.com now. People can pre-order the book, right?
It is, yeah.
And why don't you give a shout out with the name of the book and information?
So the book was written by John Van Dyke and myself. Both we've been around in the Drupal world for a while. John was the person that sort of put together or head up the first Drupal conference ever back in 2005, which is like 100 years ago in tech time. But the name of the book is Pro Drupal Development. It's put out by A-Press, and it's going to be a pretty big book. I think there's about 22 chapters. It's probably going to be over 400 pages when it's all said and done. But it's aimed at the geeky stuff, you know, how to be able to turn the core Drupal inside out, look at it, inspect it, and more importantly, put it back together again when you're done. It's going to be great. I hope it's going to be an amazing resource for people and also sort of a reference tool to have by your side when you're programming. We want to have the database schema in there and, you know, the most commonly used functions like a list of that back in the appendix and stuff. So, yeah. Soon.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah. So is and when's it supposed to come out? Do you have a date?
April.
April.
Oh. April left them there.
April. Yeah. But you can order it now on Amazon.com, and then it'll just come to your house when it comes out. That's exciting.
Yeah.
I was a total dork in Borders. I went in and I searched for it in the Borders, like, little kiosk computer, and it was there. I just turned and was like, dude, I know that guy.
I work for that guy, man. Yeah.
You guys are funny.
Well, cool. Let's that's a good hour long podcast for people. And we'll just wrap it up there and pick it up again, you know, maybe in a week. We could do I'm planning an interview with Dries Boytart, the Drupal project lead, to talk about Drupal 5 when it actually comes out, which should be in the next couple of weeks, and also what's sort of on the horizon for Drupal 6. I'm also setting up an interview with Karen Stevenson. Is that Karen S, right? Is it Stevenson?
Yeah.
Yep. Who is currently the maintainer of the CCK collection of modules. What do you call it? It's CCK project, I guess, would be, because it's like a whole bunch of modules. So. And she just joined up with the Drupal stuff about a year ago, and she's just been putting out some really amazing modules. All the Karen S modules are really cool. So we're going to talk to her and find out what makes her tick. Why are you so amazing? And like that. So we've got those on the horizon, more workshops and, just generally, you know, kicking ass when we get the opportunity. So, come back and, subscribe through iTunes and all that kind of stuff. And we'll see you next time. So adios, yo.
Bye, bye folks.